life. So good morning, gracious ones. And the rest of y'all too. And welcome to the Sedona Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I'm the Reverend Anthony Umtuaswa Johnson, and it is a pleasure and an honor to share this space with you on this beautiful February morning. We're in Sedona, and it's almost 70 degrees in February. My Chicago self so appreciates that. So know that I welcome you in the name of the ancestors upon whose shoulders I stand. And also know that I welcome you in the name of all that is sacred for you. The words that we've adapted from the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Dublin, Ireland, sum it up best for me. You see here, we do not ask what you believe. We do not expect you to think the way that we do. But we do ask that you try to live a kind and a helpful life with the dignity proper to that of a human being. That ain't too much, huh? Yeah. So welcome all who believe that religion is wider than any sect and deeper, dare I say, much deeper than any set of opinions, including my own. So welcome all who might find in our fellowship friendship, strength, and encouragement for daily living. Things you can use in your daily life. And another way I like to say that is otherwise, it don't mean a thing.
If it ain't got that swing.
If it ain't got that swing. Oh, I love y'all. Who say Unitarians don't come alive? Shoot. So our talk today is entitled Our African Unconscious, as we wrap up Black History Month, February 2025, as I hear the wonderful Donna Cavadon in my ear. Black history every day. Bless your soul. So we gather here today not just as individuals, but as seekers of truth, as a community of like-minded folks, unlike-minded folks, soul-looking folks, soul searchers. And I'm offering that we begin our sacred exploration by reflecting on the words of a West African author, friend and teacher of mine named Maladoma Somé, who wrote that the purpose of life is to bring life, to bring to this life that which only you can bring. You. So let us embark today on this journey into our shared humanity and the wisdom that is held within the African unconscious. Now, in our daily life, we got, it's fast, it's layered in this modernity, fast-paced, fragmented. You and I are quick to focus on that which is, shall we say, visible, that which is tangible, yeah? But beneath our day-to-day, underneath that, lies a deeper reservoir, a reservoir of collective memory and ancestral wisdom. Now, when I say African unconscious, I mean the deep and often unspoken truths carried throughout the African diaspora, truths that have shaped not only the lives of people of African descent, no, but the very fabric of humanity itself.
the traditions, the storytelling, the spirituality, and the ways of knowing remind us that the self is not an isolated thing. It's not. It is connected. It is rooted in community. I am because you are. Y'all know that. You mentioned Desmond Tutu. Built his philosophy around Ubuntu, a South African concept word we've come to repeat over and over. There is no me without you. I am because you are. And it's a boulevard too. There's no you without me. So in many ways, these truths live in all of us, is what I'm saying. They are alive in all of us, regardless of our heritage. Our task is to remember. Our task is to remember. The African tradition teaches that the spiritual and material worlds, same, same, interconnected. One is a mirror of the other. Well, you might remember it better through Plato. Remember his mirror? But in Western culture, we often disconnect the spiritual from the material. Or limit our spirituality to Sunday mornings or to the material world. We isolate the self from the community and the sacred from the mundane. The African unconscious challenges that fragmentation in every way that it can. You and I are one thing, man. One thing. And everything is everything. Or as the scientists would say, energy cannot be created and it cannot be destroyed. This calls us to rediscover our wholeness and our oneness. It asks us to listen deeply to the voices of our ancestors, the rhythms of the earth, and the sacred within one another. Yes, the sacred that lives that divine spark within each and every one of us. You see, for many of us, the self is only fully realized in connection to others. As I mentioned, the principle of Ubuntu. Challenging that hyper-individualism. And you know excuse my move when I say, you know how I, so you're self-made. No. You are the son and daughters of mothers and fathers and mothers and fathers and mothers and fathers and mothers and fathers and mothers. Father back as we can go. And our UU principle reflects this, our first principle. It always reminds us, it's my favorite one, the inherent dignity in every person. Inherent. Now, you know that means everybody, even them. Yeah, even them. Everyone, because nobody is free till we all are free. There is no liberation for some. Another African traditional belief. So storytelling and ritual are central to the way of being through this human experience. Because it is through rituals that we make transitions in life. We honor the sacred. And these practices also remind us of the power that comes with embodiment. Yeah? Turning beliefs into the body. I want to do a live demo. Because we tend to live in our heads and I say body. So almost, just think about your body for a minute. And y'all know that one of my biggies, I got a lot of biggies, I got a biggie and a big son. But it's my belief that it is not our differences that separate us. No. In the words of the great Audre Lorde, it is our inability to recognize, to understand, and to accept the difference. I made an acronym of it, it's called RUA. Recognize, understand, and accept the difference.
So raise your hand like this for me. And together, can we say, Ruah!
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 That's embodiment. And let it live in your body. And notice one of her key words. She said, not, it's our inability. So it's an ability. It's something we can learn. It's an ability. I'm not Mike. I don't be Mike. I don't ever want to be Mike. I want to be a me. Understand. Recognize, understand, and accept the difference. And then we get really silly as we get deep into it. We even learn to,
celebrate the differences. But that's another level. Let's just stay with Ruah. To recognize, understand, and accept the difference. Yeah? Okay. Now, in our own UU tradition, we also value rituals and storytelling. Yes, we do. But how often do we do what we just did? Create space for embodiment, challenge us to go deeper. Yeah. Stories that create and speak to the sacredness of all things, of nature, of which we're not separate, by the way. Because African cosmologies view nature not as separate from us, not separate from humanity, but they're like Albert Einstein. This African unconscious borrows from that great scientist, or he borrowed from it. We're peeking the title of a talk in a few Sundays from now. That's what I allude to when I call, and I'm going to talk about the great delusion. The great delusion. My Uncle Albert says the greatest delusion that Westerners suffer from is our belief that we are separate from nature. That, he offers, is our greatest delusion. Now, our seventh principle, the interconnected web of existence, resonates for me right there. There are the four-legged people, the tree people, the water people. They're not fish or birds or trees. They're people, as the indigenous folks say, similar to the African unconscious, which reminds us that to harm the earth, Mr. Schliebs, is to harm ourselves. I'm reminded of the story I tell about there's those boats full of Christopher Columbus and adventurous Europeans sailing here to Turtle Island, and they get off and they come on board and they meet the folk and offer them some trinkets and stuff, and they start talking, and they say, and we want to buy some of this land. And I don't understand. This is my mother. I'm not separate from this thing. But I offer that we've been hypnotized. We understand that. This consciousness reminds us that we are part of everything, of a continuum. So as you use, we love history. We honor historic figures, social activists, and folks who've done things we admire and have spoken up for our values. But have you ever actually invited them into your body, into your unconscious? Yeah? Invited them into our hearts. Not just as memories, but as active, alive entities. Now, the great psychologist Carl Jung has a name for it. He called it the collective unconscious. Remember that from psychology? Jung said there's a reservoir. There's a collective reservoir of symbols, of archetypes of all humanity. Yeah? So rediscovering that, digress for a moment. Imagine if every time that I've said the word African, replace that mentally with the word Norwegian.
Would that make a difference in your head?
Norwegian. What if they had found the DNA remains of the earliest person in Norway? And what if the scientists had finally done the DNA analysis and say, we all come from a woman, everybody in Norway. And those 10,000, 20,000 year old pyramids, they're located in Norway. No. How many of us would want to be Norwegian? Would try to connect to something Norwegian? But we've been racialized. Your brain has been Tarzan. Because when the truth and the sense, well, you never began with some woman in East Africa. And the pyramids are not in Norway, they're in Egypt. But we've been Tarzan and we got those images of what that means. I don't know if I want to claim that or not. Food for thought, y'all. Now it can be difficult, I understand, to want to rediscover that African unconscious. It takes courage. Because you're rediscovering what? Inherited wounds that we all carry. Of slavery, of colonization, of sexism, of disconnection, of destruction. And these wounds can feel too heavy to bear. But I offer that healing begins no other way but with the acknowledgement. It begins with listening and acknowledgement. Now, for some of you who may not be of African descent, engaging with the African unconscious might feel uncomfortable. We might worry about appropriation or overstepping boundaries and stuff like that. But it's not about taking anything. It's about honoring something. It's about recognizing that African wisdom belongs to the world, not to a particular group of people, that these truths are in fact universal. Carl Jung said, "You are what you do, not what you say you will do." So I have some offerings for you, for some things to do. If you want to check out, begin that rediscovery. First, listen to your ancestors. You do know that's where ideas come from, in case you're wondering. Whether through meditation, prayer, or quiet reflection, create space to listen to the wisdom of those who have come before. It's very simple for us. There's no me without them. There's no you without them. I want you to engage with African voices, read the works of African writers and theologians and thinkers. Yeah? Reflect upon their stories. Spend the time outdoors with nature and notice the sacred. A hike is a hike, but notice, look for the sacred in the natural world. So I offer that the African unconscious is not some distant or foreign concept. No. It is a part of the great tapestry of all of human wisdom. A wisdom that calls us to wholeness, calls us to connection with one another and to live in a sacred life. So as we walk this path of rediscovery, may we do so with humility, with openness, and with reverence. May we honor the gifts of African wisdom, not as a separate piece of history, no, but as a living, breathing part of who we are and who we are called to become. After all, the scientists have said, that's where everybody came from originally. I'll leave you with the words of the great Chinua Achebe, who said that the world is like a mass dancing So if you want to see it well, do not stand still. So always let us keep moving. Let us keep laughing. Let us keep rediscovering. May it be so. Blessed be. Amen and ashe. Would you join me in a moment of silence, please?